John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus gives the disciples a choice. If you love me, then he tells them what they need to do. Keep my commandments. And then he tells them there's a helper for those who love him and obey his commandments. And regarding Jesus' commandments, read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 for an example of the things that Jesus commands his disciples, like loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you. I heard a pastor one time refer to the Ten Commandments in the context of obeying Jesus' commandments. That's wrong. The Ten Commandments are godly principles that we must honor, but Jesus' commands demand a heart that loves God in order that they may be fulfilled. You can't love your enemies with your own emotional love. It'll run out. God's love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's the love that we need to be operating in, and it doesn't come to those unless the Holy Spirit is actively involved in our lives at our own invitation. We invite him in. And in this passage, Jesus promises another, a helper, or a comforter, as it is written in some translations. The helper is identified as the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit. He will be sent to those who will receive Jesus. John 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will be a teacher to us. And notice Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he. He will teach you all things. Believers will be taught and reminded of the things of God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's good news for us, especially those that can't remember stuff like me. He's going to do the work. In John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit will guide believers into all truth. Also, he will glorify Jesus. So when you see a person claiming to be a Christian acting in a manner that doesn't glorify God, you got to ask yourself, is this behavior being exhibited by the Holy Spirit? Because we as believers, we must glorify Jesus. We must be good examples for this deceived and battered down world to see. And this is not of our own doing. It doesn't work that way. It's the Holy Spirit leading us. That's where we glorify Jesus. That's when we're the examples that he wants us to be. And my prayer every day is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Spirit so I can be a good witness. And it doesn't happen all the time because I can slip out of the influence of the Holy Spirit back into my own flesh very quick. So I need to constantly be on my guard against my own selfish tendencies because you never know how your life will be used by God as a witness. I recall several years ago, I was at our church during the week. I stopped by and I saw my pastor drive up in his old truck, and he parked and got out of the truck. And then I saw his entire radiator dump antifreeze into the parking lot. And he just stood there and he said, God hates me. And he walks in and he was joking. He made a joke of it and it was funny. Made me laugh, but he didn't lose control. And he didn't start yelling. He just simply shook his head, walked inside and started his day. He didn't realize it, but to me, that was a powerful witness. God used that in my life because I would have acted a lot differently. John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ, it's not something that's forced upon us. Rather, it's a choice whether or not we are willing to receive what God is offering us. For those who don't know if they have the Holy Spirit, the question is, do you want him? Do you want your life now being steered by God? Are you willing to do things you normally wouldn't do, like truly repent, pray, read your Bibles, be a witness, those types of things? If so, then tell Jesus, Lord, I want to receive you and your Holy Spirit, and he'll make it happen. Then walk in faith, believing he is going to begin that work in your life, and he's faithful to complete it. What do you got to lose? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the disciples had already received the Holy Spirit in chapter 20, but Jesus tells them They're going to stay in Jerusalem. And this was after the resurrection when things were heating up again. This was coming up on the Feast of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the Feast of Passover, and Jesus was crucified during the Passover celebration. So this is less than 2 months from that, and the disciples are kind of laying low, and they probably wanted to head out and go home. But Jesus says, no, stay in Jerusalem, and you're going to be my witnesses. And the Holy Spirit would come upon them as compared to being in them. He's now going to be coming upon them. And we see examples of this in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit will come upon a person and they will do supernatural things or something really cool. It's not the person's own power. It's the power of God upon them. We see that in Samson, in the book of Judges. We see that with Gideon. You know, you see that with Elijah and all these guys. They had a connection with God and they had access to the power of God that was utilized according to God's will. When God wanted to make a point, he used one of these people and did something very crazy, supernaturally driven to glorify his name. And now that power is going to be available to the disciples. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and there suddenly came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Three things to notice here. Number one, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were prepped. They were ready to roll. Then they began to speak in languages understood by outsiders who spoke those languages. And only as God gave them the words to speak, did they speak. We call this speaking in tongues, but it's better understood as speaking in languages of those within earshot who understand it. That's my loose definition. There's more to it than that. And this was new. And the context of this event should help a person understand why God chose to glorify himself in this manner. That's the key. They're glorifying God. Jews from around the world were gathered for a great feast, and they all spoke different languages. So the Holy Spirit begins to minister to these foreign Jews the mighty works of God by having these uneducated Galileans speak in their own language. It's something very weird. They'd never seen this before. And a lot of people get hung up on this because they don't understand the context. Jesus said he is going to make his disciples witnesses in Jerusalem first. And that's the place that they were when they spoke in these languages. The purpose of a witness is to testify of something or on someone's behalf. So God wanted all these Jews from around the world to hear the mighty works of God proclaimed, and he used these Galilean disciples who were not really educated or familiar with other parts of the world, and they were the ones proclaiming the mighty works of God in languages they did not know, and it worked. Many came to Jesus because they were amazed that these lowly disciples were speaking in their language perfectly. So the Holy Spirit used this opportunity to demonstrate the power of God to speak in other languages to reach those hungering for God. Now, Jesus also said that he would make them witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So to do that, to be those witnesses in all those areas, they needed what they now had, the power of God resting upon them, what is also referred to as the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now he needs to get them out of Jerusalem and onto Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what does he do? He brings about persecution. And it's a good rule of thumb, when God does a great move, the devil's going to counter. And you look at all the great moves of God in the last 2,000 years. Why didn't it last? Easy. The devil neutralized the work of God by deception and destruction, like he always does. And God used the devil and his persecution to accomplish his will. So an intense persecution breaks out in Jerusalem, and it's during this period that we're introduced to a young, zealous Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus, who would become the servant of Jesus known as Paul the Apostle, Paul being his Greek name and Saul being his Hebrew name. Saul goes on a rampage, and believers quickly leave, but they take the gospel with them. A good reminder for us, take the gospel wherever you go. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip, when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. So notice he's not just speaking in other languages. The Holy Spirit's doing all kinds of stuff through him. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. Going down to verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So this was a big deal. The disciples being dispersed because of persecution, but led by the Holy Spirit, begin to fulfill Jesus' command that they are to be witnesses to the lost in all these other places. And Samaritans were not friendly to the Jews, and the disciples were Jews. There's a lot of animosity between the two, but they, like many others we may consider enemies, were hungering for God. And God met their needs, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit begins a new work in the lives of believers. And this work still carries on today, although many have strayed from the clear teachings of the Scriptures and have wandered into fabricating the illusion of the gifts of the Spirit by doing their own thing, not led by the Holy Spirit, not glorifying God. But there are those, like those in our camp, who understand that the Holy Spirit will do whatever He wants in order to glorify Jesus. And I have been present where people have spoken in tongues and an interpretation was given, and it was all about glorifying Jesus. I have experienced certain spiritual gifts myself outlined in the Scriptures, and they are real instances where the Holy Spirit used me in a situation to glorify Jesus. That's the purpose of the gift, to bring glory to God, not to make a person seem magically spiritual. It's simple, glorify God. The Holy Spirit is still operating through the disciples of Jesus, those who love Him and obey Him. And if you've never experienced this kind of event and you want to, then believe, obey, ask to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and wait. If He wants to use you in this way, cool. If He doesn't, then be good with it. But whatever you do, stay focused on Jesus, glorifying His name, and you will be blessed. Thank you.